Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this blessed Christian faith has endured all these years. Despite all the sin and the brokenness in the world and all the things working against it, Lord, your word, your truth has remained steadfast. Lord, may your word continue to fill our lives with hope, with peace, and with joy in knowing that our eternal salvation is found through the works of Christ alone. We pray this in his name. Amen. By show of hands, who values a good work ethic? All right. Collin County strong. I like that. I was expecting that. Work ethic is a good thing. It's maybe even a great thing. I know that there are some of you that were raised on a farm. So if you were a farm kid, you know about work ethic. Before the sun's up, you're out of bed, you're outside, you're doing chores, getting stuff ready on the farm, then you go to school, and then when you come back from school, what are you doing again? More chores. You're back at it. You know about work ethic. Now, I wasn't raised a farm kid, but I was raised a blue-collar kid. That meant I was at work at a very early age in my parents' business. Work ethic was taught to me very early, and it was valued in my home. The hardest job I've ever had. Afternoons, weekends, summers was spent at this job, and it was knuckle-busting, bleeding, sweating, aggravating, exhausting work. 43 years old, still the hardest job I've ever had. At the time, I hated it. Hated it. But now, I'm so deeply grateful for it because it instilled this work ethic in me that still blesses me to this day. Strong work ethic is a wonderful thing. And we think about the country we live in, this great country. One of the reasons this country is so great is because people have come about and created this or done things, so many wonderful things with a strong work ethic. Innovation, industry, advancements. All from the strong work ethic of people, that word's gonna mess me up, ethic, people that worked hard in what they are doing. And we celebrate it, we should celebrate it. It's a wonderful gift, the hands, the feet, the minds that have gone about their work and done good things. And then find any little kid that's learning something new, like tying a shoe, those tricky laces. That kid works at it day after day, and they finally get it and get that knot there and the little bows. And then what does that kid say when they finally get that knot? I did it. I did it. And mom and dad are right there, and they're celebrating with this kid because this young man has put in the hours day after day to try to figure out those tricky laces, and then he finally got it. A good work ethic is a great thing. But then we read Paul's letter to the Romans this morning. Paul said this, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." By works of the law, no human will be justified before God. By doing good things, no human being will be seen before God as worthy, as righteous, is good. Doesn't that just take the wind out of our sails? What about my work ethic? What about your work ethic? You know, Paul's words speak against something that is so deeply ingrained in us from a very early age in life. We like the ability to do things. Being able to accomplish stuff makes sense. It gets attention and it should be celebrated. It's a really, really good thing. I can do it. Battle cry for achievement and success. There's so many wonderful things that have come about in this world because of a strong work ethic and someone believing I can do it. But when we arrive at the matter of eternal salvation, we're talking about the life that comes after this life, we see that Paul's words dismantle this I can do it idea. Paul's words just smash it with one deafening sentence, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight." What Paul is saying here is that eternal salvation, the life to come, it's not Jesus plus me, and it's not Jesus plus you. Eternal salvation is not found by adding something to the cross of Christ and his good works in his death and his resurrection. No, eternal salvation is found in Christ and Christ alone, in his work, not yours and not mine. This morning we celebrate the Reformation. This is a great time in our church history where these brave souls went and mined the depths of the gospel and they brought out the truth of what was in there. And one of the gems that the Reformation brought forth to us is the truth that eternal salvation is not a Jesus plus me thing. Now, at this time in the Christian church, there was this belief that the works of man, the strict obedience to the law, these things contributed to the cross of Christ. Or maybe stated differently, man had to add something to Jesus. Jesus got man here, but man had to do a little bit more to earn God's grace to then have the promise of eternal salvation. It was Jesus plus me equals eternal life. That's been over 500 years since the Reformation, but still today there are people that are walking around, their hearts and minds convinced that their eternal salvation depends on Christ plus whatever they can do good before their time is up. And I get it. It makes sense, right? I mean, everything in life is about what you do to get there, what you do to accomplish it. You want a college degree? Go earn it. Want a new house? Go earn it. Want another trophy on the shelf? You gotta earn it. Want a raise at work? Go earn it. You have to do it. And if you don't do it, what happens? Doesn't happen. Doesn't get done. But Paul leaves no room for this idea when he speaks about the life to come. By works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. Very clear. You might be tempted to go, why, Paul, why? Why not? He gives us the why in verse 23. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God said, be perfect. And you and I, we don't even come close to perfect. There's only one that was perfect. God's law is good. It's very good. Problem is not God's law. Problem's us. God's law reveals our sin. God's law shows where we've gone off track. The law is good, but it provides no benefit to eternal salvation. It just shows how deeply and desperately we are in need of a Savior. And praise be to God that a Savior was sent into this world. Praise be to God that he didn't just leave us in our point of failure. Praise be to God that he provides the very rescue that we need for the problem that we created. Paul reveals this in verse 24. For all are justified by his grace as a gift. Then he backs it up again in verse 28. We hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. The math of eternal salvation is not Jesus plus me. It's not Jesus plus you. It's just Jesus. It's his work. And this is echoed all throughout the scriptures. But so that I don't keep you from lunch, I'm just going to bring forward two examples here, two stories I love from the Bible. The first one is the thief on the cross. Refers to him as the robber. Safe to say, because he's on the cross, he has not lived a God-pleasing life. He has not been obedient to God's commands. He's been a scoundrel. And he's there on that cross, and he's dying. There's three crosses there. Across the way, I'm assuming it was over there. There's another robber, and he was dying himself. And this first guy said to him, he said, we're receiving the due reward for our deeds. We're being crucified because we're scoundrels. We're sinners. We deserve this. But do you remember what this robber said to Jesus a few minutes or moments before he died? Do you remember what he said? He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." A profession of faith. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And how did our Lord Jesus respond? He said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in my Father's heavenly kingdom." He didn't say, "Go do this, go do that. Let me check your resume. Let me check your list of good deeds. Let me check the scales." He said, "No, believe." He said, "Truly today you will be with me in paradise." He showed him mercy right there. Showed him incredible grace. The only way this robber had eternal salvation was because he professed faith in that Savior that was dying right next to him on his own cross. Second example is one I wasn't looking for. You know, I knew I was preaching this sermon text, and I stumbled upon this as my son and I were reading through the book of Acts. And I came across this story, and it's one of my favorites. I love how God does this thing where you think, "Oh, what am I going to put with this?" And then God goes, "Here, it's in my book." Story of Paul and Silas. They're in prison. It's the middle of the night. They're locked up. The doors are locked. Everything's secure. An earthquake comes. God creates this earthquake. It shakes the whole prison. The doors come open. The chains come unlocked. And amidst the commotion, somehow amidst the commotion, the guard wakes up. He understandably freaks out, looks to kill himself because he's literally sleeping on the job. And Paul hollers out to him. What does he say? He says, No. Don't harm yourself. We're all here." This guard, who the text says was trembling with fear, fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Very logical question. What must I do to be saved? Paul simply responds to him and says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved." Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. No call for all these good works. No call for, "You got to go do all these things and then we'll talk." No, he just says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus." Yes, we hope that this guy then lived a completely transformed life. Yes, yes. He's not off the hook. But his eternal salvation is secure through faith in Jesus alone. Belief that Christ died and rose for him. Praise be to God that our Christian faith is not dependent on how many good works we do. Praise be to God that our forgiveness, our redemption, our rescue does not depend on how much you or I do to please God, how this we collect all these good things and hopefully enough pleases God. Praise be to God that it's not about what we do, but about what Christ has done for us. It's not a Jesus plus me thing. It's rather just a Jesus thing, period. His grace is sufficient. His death is enough for every human being that's ever walked this earth and calls on him as Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, I've witnessed far too many people in my life that are going through life still today, that are going through life under this idea that they have to do something, they have to add something to Jesus in order to have this, finally, have this peace that they are going to be in heaven with God someday. And I'll be honest with you, I spent probably the first 20 years of my life living under that idea. I was a baptized child of God, I believed in Jesus, that he was Lord, but I thought Jesus got me to about here, and Mark had to do here. And if Mark didn't do this enough, and Mark didn't do this really, really well, and do the right things, then Mark's eternal salvation was unknown. And I can tell you that is an unquenchable thirst, walking through life like that, wondering day after day, have I done enough? Have I pleased God enough? It's exhausting, and it sucks the joy out of being a disciple. It robs us of the joy of following Jesus. Because what it does is it takes every good work, every God-pleasing thing, every time I go to love someone, and it turns it into a have to. I have to do these things. It becomes a law in itself. I have to do these things so that hopefully I'm going to please God enough, and maybe I'll get into heaven. But when we live in the truth of the gospel, there's this real joy in following Jesus. We still look to please God. We still look to love our fellow man. We still look to do all these wonderful things, but they're no longer have-tos, they are get-tos. I get to go love someone. I get to go follow God's commands because of everything God has done for me, and I'm no longer worried about my eternal life. I get to go out and do all this stuff to honor God in every thought, word, and deed because I'm not worrying about where I'm going. By Christ's work, I know where I'm going. It changes your whole mindset. So I'd encourage you today, if you're walking through life under this idea that it's Jesus plus you to eternal salvation, please shed that. Get rid of that. It's not you plus Jesus, it's just Jesus. It's just his work. It's just his death. It's just his resurrection. And praise be to God that it is. Praise be to God that you can go out into the world, into your life, and live a God-pleasing way because you get to. Because you're filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Christ Jesus alone. Thanks be to God, it's about Christ Jesus alone. Let's pray. Merciful Father, you love us like no other. Despite our sin, despite our rebellion, your Son came into the world and died a death once for all, so that not only are we freed from the impossible eternal death that our sin has warranted, but Lord, we are freed from the crushing burden of the law and wondering if we have pleased you enough. Lord, we thank you for this gift, this true gift of salvation. May it be the joy we carry through each and every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.